should then go to rehab. Next door.
Good morning, everyone. I want to make a couple of announcements. Actually, I want to say good morning. We're so glad that you're here. In a few moments, we're going to honor Janice's daughter, Julie Leffler. And I think all of you know that how that Janice has not had a chance to be up here with us. And she's been right there with her daughter the whole time. And I don't know, except what I've experienced, that a mother's heart is so, so beautiful towards her children. And you can mess with a mother, but don't mess with her kids. It's just that protective love. It's so much different from a father's love, daddy's love. And I know that Janice has really suffered this summer. You know, this has been a wonderful summer for us, but for some people it's not been so wonderful. And thank God that the Lord has brought us through. Next Sunday will be our last service here for the season. And I want to take time to thank Bill and Reese, Merlene, Sharon, Millett. I could go on and on. Especially I want to thank Juanita. We just thank Juanita for our dinner yesterday, and all of you, Merlene,
Randolph,
and it just goes on and on, doesn't it? But just want to thank everybody for being part of our family. And Nikki and I love you so much. We've done a lot of traveling this summer between the two churches. And let me make myself perfectly clear that I don't regret a mile.
Amen.
I don't regret a mile that I've traveled this year. And we've got to experience a lot of good things. New nursing homes. Visited some people that listen to the radio broadcast. The radio broadcast is really touching a lot of people, and went to their homes, and I got to really be blessed this season by seeing God do so much in our lives. He's kept us all safe on the roads and helped us with our motorcycle trip, and just on and on. God is a good God.
Yes, He is.
And you can count on God. The problem is sometimes we just sort of put God up on the shelf, and we try to do everything on our own. But I'm thankful that Miss Ann is not hurt any worse than what she is. And of all things, I just had to call Carol last night, and Carol just fell asleep, I guess. And you were so gracious to tell me, "Why are you bugging me?" And you were so gracious, Carol.
I was really half asleep. I hope I didn't say nothing
I shouldn't. Oh, I have a recorder. It's going to cost you. No. But we do want to keep Miss Ann in her prayers. And we want to pray that Carol will be able to get away and go do some things to where she can get her mind. She's kept children this summer. She's watched over her mother. She's been a wonderful church person and friend. Done so much on the mountain. And I'd like to see you get away. And Nikki and I, we're going to leave Charleston on an airplane in the morning for Bangkok, Maine.
Bangor.
Why do I keep saying Bangkok? Where is that, China?
China, I guess.
We ain't going to China. I want to make myself perfectly clear.
It's in Thailand.
Thailand, thank you. Well, you ought to know, Pete.
Yeah, yeah.
You ought to know. Going up to see her brother, she hadn't seen since we did a wedding for your niece. And her mom and dad's ashes is scattered up there and by the cabin, and we're going to spend a few days and come back. So pray for us. We're going to be praying for our last service. We're going to be giving communion. Our Christmas service. So far, we've got it planned for December the 19th on a Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And it sort of helps me to be able to come up to the mountain in between that long period of 5 or 6 months. It really helps. So I want to invite you for that. Now, has anybody got any announcements you'd like to make? Once again, thank you for our pastor's appreciation dinner. Thank you so much. Anybody got anything you want? Any announcements to make? Whatever. I think we're going to be paving. They're going to start paving our road, right, Sam?
I think they might come in Wednesday and get set up.
Get set up Wednesday, so be aware of that. And I'm hoping I can get, well, I have to. I have to get the motor home out next Sunday after church.
Well, the places they're going to pave, you can go around back, you know, one side of the mountain or the other. The only place that would be blocked would be down by the pool, where the water leak was. They're going to pave that, and that's the only way down there.
Okay.
And the curb down there, they're going to improve on too.
Okay, so I can leave from my house and go right on down the mountain.
One side or the other will be open.
Okay. All right, I'm looking for some great things to happen while we're separated this winter. I'm looking for the springtime, for Reese, for her to be completely healed.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'm believing, I'm trusting, I'm believing in that. And I'm praying.
Yeah, thankful you and Mom can do a square dance.
Yes. Amen. So I do want to take a few moments out to honor Janice's daughter. Julie Leffler was 49 years old, and Saturday she left this world. And my prayer is that her spirit and soul is in heaven now, and she's not suffering anymore. And from what I hear, I believe that all is well. That to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. I want to do this in honor of Miss Julie and Janice and Ernest, but especially the mama.
This was played at the funeral, correct?
Right.
And I think Julie loved the song.
Yeah, she had sent it to me when I was sick. June. So, yeah, she loved it.
Ready?
Okay, ready.
This world has left me lame.
I can look back and see many times that it was the Lord that carried me through times that I could not have made it on my own. So I thank the Lord. I pray that the family can not forget, but to move on, because life certainly goes on. And we don't forget, but if we live in the past, we're never able to enjoy what God has for today. I'm going to ask the choir to come up, and we're going to have our greeting. Let's just hug each other and enjoy each other's company. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Right, here you go. Right there. It's okay. God, we love you. Thank you for Merlene. Thank you for keeping our church clean on the inside. Thank you for all your hard labor. Let's join each other in our greeting. Thank you. I know I've done what the Bible says for me to get to heaven. And you know that Jesus' finished work was on the cross as far as forgiveness of sins. And then when he come out of that tomb, he defeated death. And he said, I'm coming back after I prepare a place for you. So, you know, I'm going to stand on his promises. I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm not going to take part of it and not believe it. I'm not going to try to twist it around. But I'm going to take God at his word that there is a place waiting for those that love him.
Amen.
And Randolph, would you turn the AC on 70, please? Amen. We're going to sing a song for the first time I've ever tried to sing it up here. It's called Moment by Moment. Page 213. 213. Moment by moment. 213.
Oh,
praise the Lord moment by moment. You know, I just felt the Lord come into the house.
Amen.
Thank God I am here to receive whatever He has for me today.
Amen.
Because it does take a life of moment by moment. We know not about tomorrow, not even about tonight, but we take moment by moment. Can we do that without the music? Just the chorus, and just give us a little note there that we can go off of, and then help me and all of y'all sing this. Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I'm blind from the love. Looking to Jesus till for me, as I watched all the problems with Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford, I thought, Lord, we need an understanding of what the scriptures say, that Jesus can change a life, and that Jesus will forgive when we're accused wrongfully, and I don't know. But if we're accused wrongfully, and we take that, and we show forth the love of Christ, God says that He's going to give us something that we didn't have before. And that's endurance. You know, it's taken a lot of endurance for the Bearfield family. Taking a lot of endurance. And I know one thing, if you had been fine, upstanding Christians, you wouldn't have got this far. And I believe your faith and your endurance is going to see you to the victory line.
Amen.
I believe that. Amen. I believe that as I'm touching you right now, you see, I'm just praying for those places on your head to heal up.
Amen.
I'm praying whatever it takes, that God's already got the answer and He knows the end from the beginning. And I just pray that it'll be a great winter for you, that good things will happen to y'all.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Love yourself. You know, when you love God, you love people.
Amen.
Girl, I prayed for you last night. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise.
One day we'll live in glory.
Amen.
Page 123.
Oh, hallelujah. This is another song that my mother used to sing. And first time that I sang it all the way through was last night, in over 50 years. What page did y'all say?
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. I can count that out. Thank you, Lord. Oh, everybody go, oh. I'd like to stay here longer. Calls me to that sweet home on high. suicide. He met us in North Carolina, and he and I went to what was that place in North Carolina?
Nearby town to get a U-Haul.
We went and got a U-Haul, and I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, "I wish I could be like you." And I thought about that as I was driving that truck back to their apartment. I thought, "Do you want to be like me? You've seen and been places, and you've got so much knowledge inside of you." And then the Lord showed me He had everything but the real thing He needed.
Yes.
And that was the knowledge that Jesus Christ loved Him, died for Him. And it, you know, to those who don't believe, it's foolishness. When we're talking about the gospel and Jesus dying on the cross and that His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins, that He rose from the dead on the third day, and God's one and only Son. And when we start talking about it, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that don't believe.
That's true.
But those that do believe and will believe, it's our salvation.
Amen.
It's our salvation.
Yes.
And I can tell you that if it had not been for the Lord, I would be standing here at 74 years old telling you about the Lord and what He's done in my life. Because if it hadn't been for Him, I'd have been dead a long time ago. I think one day I need to tell you about this. Somebody may relate to it. But I used to do a lot of bar hopping back before I became a Christian. And I remember going into this bar in Georgia. Somebody said something I didn't like, or I said something they didn't like. And I started to leave, and all of a sudden I heard this girl screaming, and she was crying for her boyfriend to take that gun, that rifle down from the top of his car. He had it pointed straight at me. And she was just screaming, "Please don't do it. Please don't do it." And you know, God saved my life that night. Saved my life. And I still didn't have enough of understanding that we all run out of chances. One day we'll all run out of chances to get right with God. And we saw about the ark. You know, the door's still open for people to come for salvation. But at the ark, after 7 days, God shut the door, and there wasn't no getting in that ark. Noah couldn't open that door. God's the one that shut that door. And we need to realize in the United States that we have a door open to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus. We got to be bold. We can't be ashamed. We can't, if we got friends that don't believe, we can't be ashamed not to just tell them in love what Jesus means to you.
Amen.
And I just praise Him. But I can remember that night. I want to tell you something. A shotgun's got a barrel maybe a hole that big. But when I stared down the barrel of that shotgun, that barrel was that big. And I was 1 second away from eternity. Going out. Lost, Carol. I would walk up in hell. Oh, I thank Him. I look back and see the times that when I was not a believer and I lived the life I wanted to live, and how I destroyed lives and destroyed my life. My life, almost completely destroyed my life. And that gives me a gratitude. That gives me a drive to keep going. Because if God can take the kind of man I was and change me, I know He could change anybody. And I want to tell you today, you might be listening to this over the internet later on, but I want to tell you today, it's not too late. If you hear my voice, God can change your life. And you can think all kinds of things of how miserable you might be, but that's a lie. I'm going to tell you, when you get right with God, you got a peace and a joy that the world can't give you. Nothing you've ever tried is going to give you what Jesus can give you.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord I didn't sleep too good at the campground because it had the river that kept rising. Kept raining every day. The river, Greenbrier River, she'd come on up a couple feet, and then she'd come on up. And that night it was raining and pouring, and we wasn't going to leave till the next morning. And I got up the next morning, and I looked, and it was almost maybe 2 to 3 feet below where it would come up and coming under our motorhome. And guess what I did? I got out of the Dodge. I mean, we buckled up and come.
Yes.
But the Lord watches out for His people.
Amen.
He watches. And isn't it so good to have peace with God and to know that when you do face something that you can't handle, that God can handle it for you.
Amen.
Oh, yes, He can. Sickness, I was just thinking, I've been checking my blood pressure lately. And I just can't believe that I was taking blood pressure medicine when I was in my 30s. And my blood pressure was sky high back then. And now it's down I just feel at peace. You know, when you got something going on wrong in your body, you may not know what it is, but you know that something just ain't right. Amen. Y'all ever felt that way?
Amen.
Something just ain't right. I can't put my finger on it, but something's wrong. Now, Lord, I look to you to take care of that thing. I look to you. Praise the Lord. We're come on up here, Miss Owens, and we're going to sing this song together. Before I bring the message, I'm going to be preaching about precious things. I want to tell you, my time up here has been precious to me. I wouldn't take nothing for it. And I imagine you're up here not because you have to, because your time up here is precious. And there's a lot of precious things in life. And we're going to sing about Jesus being precious. You ready? Okay. Next year, Marlene, you're going to be our sound person. When I feel disheartened, forsaken, forgotten, Jesus is precious to me. In all I don't have a lot of precious things. I learned years ago when God called me into a difficult ministry and all the traveling that I couldn't make a lot of earthly possessions precious to me. And I found out over the years that God, when He puts something in my heart, I'm able to let something go and just to follow Him. And it's paid off in my life. I know that my decision I made a couple years ago about leaving the church and leaving the mountain, I'm simply following God's plan to show me. And I pray that you know that if He would put something in your heart and your spirit, that you'd be willing to do whatever it takes. And use me in my life when God calls me to a certain thing, a certain ministry or a certain place to go, I have to let something go behind me. For every step that we take forward, we leave a step behind. So in my life, personally, it's always been give and take, being willing to give up, being willing to sell. One of the hardest things in my life was when God used Nikki and I to build a nursing home church in Jacksonville. And I want to tell you, that place was precious. We'd bus sometimes 72 wheelchairs from different homes. And we just had a worshipful time. And then my health got so bad that the Lord was calling me to give up that church. And there was a wonderful Baptist group that lived in that area that had been renting a place miles away. And they came and looked and said, "Well, this would be right here in our neighborhood. Would you sell this to us?" And I remember our last Sunday there, and we've got pictures of our last Sunday there when you would be our last. And I remember the hurt I could see in Nikki's eye. And I tell you, if a man loves a woman and sees hurt in her eyes, it tears him up. Tears him up. And that was so difficult to let that go. You know, I just had no idea that one day we would have a place 50 times bigger than that we are slowly making it in to the same kind of church we had just across the street. You know, sometimes you just have to let go of things. Sometimes even with her family, I've seen so many families that try to hold on to their children, their grandchildren, when they're out in the world and they're running wild and doing their own thing. And we want to jump in there and try to fix everything. And we're not willing to let them go and give them to God. I want to tell you, if you love someone, you've got to give that person to God, no matter how much you love them. God don't want you to be a part of them trying to find out who they are and trying to fix everything. Sometimes we need to hit rock bottom. We love children or grandchildren or family, wives or husbands. We don't want to see them hit rock bottom. But that may be what it takes to bring them to God. And what would it profit them to gain everything, the whole world, and lose their soul?
That's right.
So if things that are precious to you, you have to sometimes step back and really, there's a lot of things I like. One thing I didn't like to do was put a for sale sign on this church and one on that beautiful little place on the side of the mountain. That was hard. That place is still precious to me, but I realize, Sister Sharon, that I can leave it all behind if God wants me to move forward.
That's right.
I can let it all go. I learned that whenever I was having heart trouble. It took over a week for me to be able to say, well, Lord, I know you'll take care of Nikki. And I've done all I can to take care of her, make sure something happens to me, that she's not left holding in an empty bag. A lot of husbands or wives, when they leave this world, they leave the partner with nothing. Nothing. Nothing to help them, but I knew that I'd done my part. And so, after the second time they went in my heart, that day that they took me in there to go back in there, I was willing to let it go. Because God's will was more precious to me than what I wanted.
Amen.
It's hard to get to a point like that in your walk with God.
Amen.
It's really hard. I'm not saying it's easy. It's taken me years and years and years. God has been working in my life to show me what things should be, really be precious and what things I need to be willing to let go. And I have come to the point that if I know it's God's will, I'm ready to leave it all.
Amen.
I'm ready to walk forward. I thought, and sometimes we're on a path that it's a learning path. And it's not that you're out here doing wrong or going the wrong way, but it's a time of learning. And I learned one thing among many things about our church here, that this church will never be sold as long as I'm alive. That this church belongs to this mountain, not to the association, but to all the people up here. And I found out another thing, that there's people like Bill Bearfield willing to step up to the plate to keep this church going. This church is precious to this mountain.
Amen.
It really is. It's precious to me. But I found out from experience that I can go down there and go out that gate and never come back if that would be God's will, with no regrets. I've done my best. It's not been the best sometimes, but I did what I knew to do at the time. I've done my best. And the Lord gave me this message, and it's amazing how I was asking God, what do you want me to preach on? And guess what I found right here? This message I preached in 1994, right before my late wife died. And it was talking about precious things. Sometimes I preach about things I have no idea what God's trying to tell me, but I find out on down the road. So if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to stand, and I'd like for you to hold your Bible up, please. Every now and then, I take my Bible in a nursing home service. I open it up, and I go by each person. And I watch those crippled up hands, twisted up hands, lay on the Bible. And I see their lips moving, saying a prayer, thanking God, how much this Bible means to them. And I pray that it will become the most favorite thing that you have in your life, is your Word of God. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will not do what it says I should.
I will not do what it says I should.
God, give me ears to hear.
God, give me ears to hear.
A heart to receive.
A heart to receive.
And a spirit to obey.
And a spirit to obey.
That my life,
that my life might
be changed by you. Not what the preacher thinks.
Not what the preacher thinks.
But what you say.
But what you say.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Title of the message is Precious Things. Now there's a difference between things you like and things that you love. And there's also a big difference about things that are precious to you. Now, I've heard this about a lot of people say that my grandchildren are the most precious thing in my life. And that's okay. That's a good thing. They're precious. But if you put them before Jesus, you're going to have trouble one way or another, because the Word says you are not to have any other God before you. Precious is something that's costly, something that is dear, something that is esteemed above material wealth or gain. Precious is mentioned in this Bible. Now, I took the word for it. I didn't go through it and check it, Pete, but I took the word. Precious is mentioned 76 times in the Bible. And precious is mentioned first in the Bible in Genesis, the 24th chapter and the 53rd verse. Let's turn to that. 24:53. Genesis 24:53. And we see where there was a wife that was being sought out for Jacob. And they found Rebekah, and the Bible says that the servant had been ordered to find a wife. Abraham said, I want you to go find a wife for my son. And don't you pick just any person to be his wife. She has to be special. She has to be the kind of woman that God would approve of. And the servant loaded up with all these jewels and all kinds of gifts and went looking for a wife. Now, I'll tell you what, now, if I took off on a bunch of camels and it was loaded down with wealth, I could find a lot of women that would love to be a wife. But this wasn't the point of the whole thing. This was God directing Abraham and directing his servant to go and find the woman that would continue on the bloodline and the lineage that would lead up to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And the Bible says that When he saw Rebecca and he talked to Laban and he talked to him about getting Rebecca for a wife, that the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave to her brother and to her mother precious things. And what struck me is I thought maybe the most precious thing to anybody would be gold and silver and nice things. Now, the Bible doesn't say exactly what he gave to the brother and the mother, but they were precious. They were things that Rebecca's mother and brother would hold dear. In other words, they wouldn't get it like a lot of kids get an inheritance today. They go through all the stuff of the parents and they throw it to Goodwill and different people the stuff, but they keep the money. They keep the money. But these were precious things. And that's where precious was first mentioned in the Bible. And I want to tell you today, if you think that having a lot of money and having a lot of wealth and material things is precious to you, you got your eyes fixed on the wrong thing that God wants you to esteem to be precious. In thank you. In Psalm 116, I've preached on this many times. Psalm 116, 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's something that is highly esteemed by all heaven that God himself says it is precious. And something that is precious to God, you know that he is going to put everything that needs to be done to help that person. I don't believe in the angel of death. I really don't. Now, I saw quite a few people die. And I saw people that wasn't right with God. It seemed like the way they were acting, they could see the flames of hell. I've seen a lot of people die singing to the Lord. I've seen people die praising God. I've seen people die happy. I've seen people die at peace. And those that die in peace, those that can see the portals of glory, those that know it is well with their soul, it is precious in the eyes of the Lord, because to come out of this body is not an easy thing. I don't know what it's like to die, but I know that one day it's an appointment that all of us must keep. Even in the rapture, we have to come out of this old sinful body. It's precious to the Lord when we approach death. And he sends exactly the things that we need to help us. Precious is mentioned last in the Bible in Revelation 21 and 19. Let's go to that. Revelation 21, 19. I hope you go out of this church today with a better understanding of what should be important and precious to you. One of the things that strikes me is sometimes we don't ask ourselves this question. Do I want to please people? Which includes your family, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Do I want to please them or do I want to please God? Now, I want to tell you, you'll have a good relationship with your family if you're in the will of God. God is bringing my family back together. I just saved a picture of my daughter today that she put as a friend on Facebook to me.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. I'm just so happy. And once a month, my boys is taking me out fishing, won't let me pay for nothing, won't let me. I mean, all they want me to do is just catch fish and be happy. And we get out in that boat. And those are precious times, because I remember the times when we were so split and so divided. I got a text from son. Next to the youngest son, and he said, "Daddy, I made a reservation for us to go out in the airboat October 27th, and he said, it's already been made, and this guy can put us on the fish." I text back and I said, "Well, son, how much do I owe you? What's my share?" And he said, "Daddy," he said, "you'll never owe me nothing. You've done your share by raising me and loving me." So he said, "It's all covered." And that meant so much to me. That was precious to me. It's precious to have someone that you're not one with, and then God works through different ways, and all of a sudden this person loves you for who you are. That's a precious thing. Now, people with money can flaunt money and get lots of friends. When I was a beer drinker and I was a marijuana smoker, I want to tell you, I had a pretty good bit of money. I had friends everywhere. I had friends, had parties on the weekend, went parasailing, Oh, it was just a great time. But when I gave my life to the Lord, October the 28th, 1987, I lost every one of those friends. I lost every one of them. And when I would take a break in the break room, this is a big place, Florida, not Florida, but Texas Power. We had three power plants there, and I was a journeyman there. And I would open up my Bible during break, and then all move away from me. People that used to be Christians, they said they were Christian. I was out in the world, but once I got saved, I got excited. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm excited about getting saved and having my sins forgiven and receiving the power of the Holy Ghost in my life to go and minister to help and love people. Yeah. I'm excited. That's precious to me. Do you know what the anointing really is? The anointing is what God pours upon His people that will obey Him, and He can use them no matter where. I never thought I'd be in a nursing home. But it's my life. It's been my life for 27 years. And I love it. I love it. And it's only because the things that used to be precious to me, like getting drunk, you know, I thought I had to get drunk to be able to go to sleep. I thought I had to fire up with the boys with a little marijuana to be one of the guys. But I found out that all I was doing, I wasn't creating any true friends, and I was destroying my life, my body, and people that I loved. I tell you what's precious to me now is to see someone that I have worked with, like Brother Ronnie Gullett. You saw him when he come in here. We worked on him, bless God, over 10 years. I worked on that man a little bit at a time. And he came back to the Lord. He surrendered completely. And to see him walk in the church and sit back there, and for him to stand and talk about he was back right with God, that's what's precious to me. Amen. I want to see people get right with God. I want to see people have hope that whatever situation they're in, that God's going to bring them through it. I praise God today. And it's precious to me to see people that love the Lord, that have been going in the wrong direction, and they're finally back where they need to be. Brother Ronnie is going to be used of God mightily. He sure is. All right, Revelation, the last time precious, is mentioned in the Bible, 21:19. Now listen to me. John had a revelation, and God was showing him about the city that God is building for us to live, travel back and forth, to be able to all come together. God will be the light of that city. We'll be able to see the Father. We'll be able to see Jesus. We'll be able to see each other. We will know each other as we were down here. And life is, you know about life is going to be grand. I tell you what, that city is going to be precious. That's going to be a precious thing to us. And John was, the angel had told John how beautiful it was going to be. And the 19th verse, he said, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. I tell you, there's a song that says how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful it must be to see the foundations of the city, the walls of jasper, and the foundation with precious stones, and to see those pearly gates, and to see those that we love. That's good. You know, that's a precious thought to me. You know, that's a precious thought. I want to give you a couple more things before I close today. And I pray that you'll understand how important this message needs to be to you today. You know, I say this with love. It's like her brother, a college professor. And he's educated. He can tell you about anything you want to know. And he's taught in college how many years? All his life?
Yes.
Yeah. He's so special. but he don't know Jesus. I don't know how I'm going to be able to be used. I'm not going up there and beat him over the head with the Bible. I'm not going to jump in there and start saying, you need to get saved. That's going to drive. But something's got to happen. I need a precious happening to where I can tell him, Tom, Jesus loves you. And God can use an educated man like you to tell other educated people about Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. You gotta be born again. Gotta be born again. Loving and believing in Jesus. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 7 and 8. 1 Peter 1, 7 and 8. Thank you, Lord. Peter was talking to us about precious things. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know, we're just not taking nothing with us when we leave this earth.
Amen.
Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter said, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold, because when our faith is tried and we believe and we continue on in what God has called us to do, it's more valuable. More valuable. I heard a guy the other day say, silver is becoming more valuable than gold. Well, I don't know, because I don't do this. I don't buy and sell gold. But I was thinking, I would rather be at peace with God. I would rather know the truth that there is a heavenly home, that there is wealth untold. If you want to talk about wealth, it's in glory land. It's a place where we'll never grow old. It's a place there'll be no dying, no pain, no suffering. I would rather have that confidence that I'm saved and born again than all these pockets hanging out with bars of gold front and back. I told you about the guy that didn't have anything back here. And he would stick two bags of beechnut chewing tobacco to make this stick out to where it looked like he had something back there. And he was the laughing stock. But he was a boss, so we knew how far we could go with him. But honey, I would rather have Jesus than to have these back pockets filled with gold and silver.
Amen.
The trial of your faith. Listen, you've been tried. All of you have been tried. I know all of you. All of you have been tried. All of you have been through the fire. And guess what? It's not over with. As long as you're on this earth, this old sinful world, that our faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tried. But you know what? It's more precious than gold. Whom having not seen, would you pray for us? Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You rejoice. I pulled this out of my archives of notes last night when I spotted about precious things. George Beverly Shea used to sing, I'd rather have Jesus. What would you rather have today than Jesus? What are you focused on? If you'll make Jesus the most precious one in your life, then all these things will be added. Healing, peace, joy, happiness, love, grace, mercy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. all these things will be added unto you. I've got one more Sunday to give the altar call. And I'm giving it now. If there's someone here today that's not right with God, the only way you can get right is through Jesus. No, if all roads led to heaven, this coexistence where you can believe in anything and still get to heaven, oh, if they're right, I'm still going to get there. But if they're wrong, there'll be a lot of people won't make it, Carol. I'm telling you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Him. Nikki, why do you play that? The altar's open if you'd like to come. One day, near you one won't hear that altar call here. A whole lot of people's going home. Do it while you can. Don't forget our prayer request. Don't forget that. Did you put Miss Ann on here? Remember Miss Ann, we're going to go visit with her. One thing Miss Ann really loves is attention and loving. And I'm going to give her both of them. Lord, bless each one on this prayer list. In the name of Jesus. Anybody have something you want to say in closing? Anybody? Yes, Pete.
I'd like to vent my frustration for a moment.
Go ahead.
I don't know if anybody's been watching this hearing on Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
But there's this one guy, Blumenthal, who's running for Senate in Connecticut, who claimed to be in Vietnam, but was never in Vietnam. He had 5 deferments, and he was never near a war zone. Now, I was involved in a couple hundred combat assaults in Vietnam. I was involved in a couple hundred resupply missions